Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, which reads as follows. Again, I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. One of the first lessons that our Lord taught about prayer was to not be seen of any other person, to enter into the inner room, get alone with your Father in heaven. When he teaches us that in this way, he teaches us that prayer must be personal and individual and about the individual's relationship with God. Now we come to this lesson about united prayer, that your prayer cannot only be secret and solitary. You cannot just have Christianity as a island religion where it's you, the Bible, God, and prayer. You have to have other people. And that's what the united prayer kind of brings out, is this idea that we're part of a body, that we're part of a family, that we're part of a more than us versus the world ideology. Because there's a very special promise for united prayer that if two or three individuals can get together and agree upon what they ask for, the result is not a no or a maybe or something else. It is an actual, this is what you get. Prayer equally needs to be both hidden in secrecy, in which the soul meets with God alone, and public, as in the kind of worship that we do every Sunday when we go to our religious services, and as Catholics go to Mass, and find the Lord himself as the common meeting place between all of us. And that's why communion is such a very important part of Mass, because communion is Jesus there among us and all that in there. The reason why this is so is that it makes plain our relationship with one another is no less and not as unimportant as our relationship to God. Because just as God is with each one of us, we must be toward one another and experience that love one to another. I mean, think about it in the sense of your own family. If you had a brother or sister that you didn't deal with, could you truly consider yourself a member of that family? Well, let's keep going. Grace renews our relationship not only to God, but to other people. We learn to say not only my Father, but we learn from Jesus the prayer known as the Our Father. Nothing would be more unnatural than for the children of the family to always meet their Father individually and separately, but never have a united expression of their love on days like Thanksgiving, Christmas, or Easter, or other holidays like Father's Day and so forth, where you really get to know the Father and celebrate him with his other children. We are members of one family and one body. Just as each member depends on the other in a body, we depend upon one another in this community of the saints. This is why we can pray for those who are in purgatory and those who are in heaven that are declared by the church to be saints, because they're all part of the same body. There's no two bodies of Christ where if you die, you become part of the body of the dead, and those who are alive are part of the body of the living. No, there's only one body of Christ. Paul the Apostle did not leave the body of Christ just because he died some almost 2,000 years ago. He's actually still part of the body of Christ, still an active member, and that's why the church tells us that we can pray and ask saints to intercede for us and get into this power of united prayer. But it's more so when you and I can agree on something on earth, because that's specifically where this promise is talking about, where we agree on earth. So just getting this idea that every spiritual dwelling that we have as a body of Christ depends upon the union and cooperation that we have one with another, the fellowship, the communion of saints. We as Christians cannot reach our full potential of blessing from God unless we're ready to give through his Spirit those things that others seek and need as a result of fellowship with one another, with each other, with other Christians. This is why we go to Mass. This is why we have Sunday services. This is why we do the things that we do. in order to experience God in his fullness this way. Because it's in the union of the fellowship or communion of saints that the Spirit is able to manifest his full power, his full unique Godhead. Because if we think back, it was the 120 that were continuing in one place together, praying with one accord, that the Spirit first came on Pentecost from the throne of the glorified Lord and moved them to speak in other tongues. And 5,000 were added to that number that day, if we really look at Acts chapter 2 and understand what was being written there. The marks of true united prayer are given in the words of the Lord. The first is that there must be an agreement as to the thing asked. There must not be a general consent to agree with anything another person may ask, but there must be some special matter of a distinct, united desire, as it is in all prayer. The agreement must be both in spirit and in truth. In such agreement, it will become clear to us exactly what we are asking, whether we may confidently ask according to God's will, and whether we are ready to believe that we have received what we have asked. The second thing that marks out what is a true united prayer concerns the gathering together in the name of Jesus. In a much later lesson, we'll learn more about the need for having prayer as a representative of Jesus, what the name of Jesus is about in prayer. But here the Lord wants to show us that the name must be the center of the union for each one of us believing in him, the bond that unites us into one. Just as a home contains all and unites all who are in it, the name of Jesus is like the home, the family name that really gathers us all together so that we can truly worship. That's what the Mass is all about. That's what all of our Sunday services are all about. All of our liturgies, all of our prayers are supposed to be about is uniting us with him. The Our Father. It's not just my dad in heaven. It's your dad in heaven with mine. We're family. Recognizing that family relationship. And it reminds us of that psalm that tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and that the righteous, all of us, run into it to escape. The name is such a reality to those of us who really understand and believe in him that we meet in it and have the Lord himself present in our worship. We really experience him when we come together in united prayer. And this is not just in the Mass or in our Sunday services. It also goes for prayer meetings in private homes, when we really are praying the rosary as a family and stuff like that. Because that's when we really experience the love and unity that each of our disciples are about and truly shows him in our midst. Because Jesus declares, as he says in these scriptures here, that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, this is connected also to understanding the authority of the church, because it's in the name of Jesus that the church itself speaks and represents Christ on earth. That's why the magisterium is equal to the scriptural revelation when we really understand when and where there are definitive statements about the faith that are being made by a bishop, a priest, or even the pope. As to certain matters of faith and doctrine, because that allows us to live in the presence of Christ and in the fellowship of his loving and praying disciples, we experience the power of united prayer because of his presence among us. The third thing that shows what this kind of prayer is and kind of sets it apart as a mark is the sure answer that comes. It shall be done for them of my Father. A prayer meeting for maintaining religious fellowship or seeking out its own edification may have its use. But this was not the Savior's view of a prayer meeting. He meant it as a means of securing a special answer to prayer. A prayer meeting without a recognized answer to prayer ought to be a very strange anomaly. When any of us have a distinct desire in regard to what we feel we are too weak to exercise in our own faith, we need to seek the strength of, and help of others. And this is where the communion of saints comes into play in the Catholic Church, to where we can go to saints like St. Francis of Xavier, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Thomas Aquinas, or or to Paul the Apostle, or Peter, or St. Jude when we're looking for something that's lost, or St. Anthony, those kind of things. Because we can really get this help from other. And in the unity of faith and of love and of the Spirit, the power of the name of Jesus and the presence of Jesus acts as surely as it would in our individual prayer if we truly had the prayer of faith of trusting in God, forgiving others, because the answer will certainly come. So in this, the true united prayer of faith does show what its fruit is, the answer and receiving of the very thing that which we ask. Because Jesus said, I say unto you, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. What are the unspeakable privileges of united prayer as to what the kind of power that it can possess? Well, if we look, a believing husband and wife, if they knew that they were joined together in the name of Jesus, they could experience the presence of God and the power of united prayer in their own homes. This is what 1 Peter kind of hints at when it talks about husbands being subject to wives and wives to your husbands. We can also see it when friends believe the very mighty things that can happen in each other's lives because they unite as the two or three praying together in order to give each other the help, to be those friends that go at midnight knocking on the door and saying, hey, I've got a buddy here that needs this. You know, then he gets all that is required because they're intercessing for each other. In every prayer meeting or worship service, if we truly came together in the name of Jesus Christ with a faith in his presence in those services, whether it's on Sunday or in our homes, the expectation of the answers to our prayers could become the most important thing that happens, the prayer of petition that happens at every Mass after the homily or the reading of the Gospels and such before we get into communion. Should be a high point as far as what we're doing, because then we can see exactly whether or not we as a praying community are truly united in the name of Jesus, truly experiencing this full fellowship of the faith that we're supposed to be. And also as a church united, effective prayer should be regarded as one of the chief purposes for which we are bound together in the highest exercise of our place as a member of a body of believers. Because if we don't see ourselves going to Mass to pray for each other and to be united for each other and to see those answers to prayer as a result of the prayers that we pray in the Mass, then what's the purpose of our Sunday service? Too many people go to Mass wanting to have some blessing, some tickling of the ears, some magical experience, but not really have the full force and fruit of fellowship, which is those answers to prayer, that true fellowship that comes from being a family. I mean, can you think of a family member that would turn down another family member if they were really in need? I mean, you should really be thinking about, you know, how a mother, if her child's sick, how it becomes an obsessive thought for her about how she can make that child well. Does she take it to a doctor? Does she give it a certain medicine? Does she wake up in the middle of the night to make sure that something's still going on, that there's a certain amount of warmth, that there's a certain amount of care, that there's a certain amount of food? These kind of things are things we provide naturally and should be a part of our worship services. And if we don't have that, we can't complain about not getting nothing from the Mass. We should not complain about not being fed or experiencing anything, because we're not there as a people united in prayer, seeking a specific blessing, a blessing that can tell us that we really have received something from God in that prayer meeting or in that Mass or in that worship service that truly benefits each one of us. Then we also need to look that in the Church Universal, there is the coming of the kingdom, the coming of the very King himself in his second coming, the very mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we need every day in our lives like it was in Pentecost, the very own experience of Christ's glorious person in our lives, and such like these is unceasing united crying to God that we should be praying for in every Mass. I mean, when we really go to Mass, do you really honestly believe that Jesus Christ becomes present body and blood in the Eucharist? If not, do you not see an answer to prayer? Do you not realize that that's why you have nothing? All these things are the mighty blessings that can come to and through all of those who agree as Christ asked them to agree in these passages of Scripture in order to prove God will fulfill his true promise. The Apostle Paul discussed this reality to the prayer of faith when he talked to the Romans in Romans chapter 15, verse 30, because he basically said these, I asked you, brethren, by the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers for God for me. Because that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be an interceding people. We're not supposed to be a people who stand off apart from others. We are united one to another. We are to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to be struggling for answers. The answers that even the Apostle Paul requested that he be delivered from his enemies and to be able to prosper in his work. We're supposed to be praying for each one of us to do the same. A lot of us, we look at the scandals like the priests that have been maligned and maligned the church because of their actions with minors. And we don't see how that it's our lack of prayers for those priests that is part of the problem. The other part of the problem has to do with them and other things, but there is a problem that comes in with us not praying for the grace that God really does protect his church. To the Corinthians, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1:11, God will deliver us if you work together on our behalf with your prayer supplications. This is something that Paul himself saw as a real part that each individual has with his ministry. Through prayer, you participate in the ministry of one another. To the Ephesians, Paul wrote the following, with all prayer and supplication, praying in all times in the Spirit for all the saints and on my behalf, that utterance might be given unto me. His power and success in ministry depended upon the prayers of those who actually believed. The experience of the ministry in the church, whether it be the priests, the deacons, the bishops, and so forth, is all due to the fact of prayer. In fact, this podcast doesn't exist if you don't pray properly for it to continue to exist. I mean, all that kind of works together for the good and to really experience what the love of God is in Christ Jesus. When Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 19, he pointed out that his trials would turn to his salvation and the progress of the gospel through the prayers and supplications and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ as a result of their prayers. To the Colossians in chapter 4, verse 3, he added the following injunction for others to continue to pray, with all praying for us as well, that God may open for us a door for the word. Basically, every opportunity that a minister has to minister to others is the result of a productive prayer life of the community that he serves. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, Paul also wrote, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run and be glorified, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable men. To not have the church be subject unto the unreasonableness of secular standards, we need to be a praying people. We need to be a people that really understands that we shouldn't be tying ourselves to the yoke of the world when we have such an abundant supply in God. Everywhere it is evident that Paul, as an apostle, felt himself a member of a body. And it was in this body that we are to work in sympathy and cooperation, because this is what Paul himself saw himself as being dependent upon. He counted on the prayers of those churches to obtain for him what other might not have been given. The prayers of the church were to him a very real factor in the work for the kingdom of God and the real show of the power of God in the lives of others. What can we say about what power the church could develop and exercise if it gave itself to the work of prayer day and night for the coming of the kingdom, for God's power on his servants and his word, and for the glorifying of God in the salvation of souls? Many churches think that their members are gathered into one simply to take care of and to build up each other. They don't know that God rules the world by the prayers of his saints, and that the prayer is the power by which Satan is truly conquered. And by that prayer, the church on earth has at its disposal the powers of the heavenly world. They do not remember or recall the promise that Jesus gave when he said that every assembly in his name will be a gate to heaven, where his presence will be felt, and that his power will be experienced by through the Father fulfilling their desires and their needs. We cannot sufficiently thank God for the blessed periods of time in which we spend in true united prayer, because those are the times when Christianity truly triumphs and succeeds in our world today. And it is of this unspeakable value of proof of unity in our faith in our God that the power of united prayer truly has its root. It will train us to enlarge our hearts and take in all the needs of the church universally, and to help each individual through the united persevering prayer of the church. It is also a stimulus of continual union in prayer in smaller circles, and its blessing can prove to be great, just as great as our full communion with all those in the body of Christ, whether they be among the living or the dead. And it will become even greater as God's people recognize what is meant for them if they truly understand the name of Christ that they're to represent and to be a representative of, as we truly enter into his presence in the midst of a body united in the Holy Spirit and boldly claim the promise that whatever we will agree for on earth shall be done for us of our Father in heaven. Because these are the keys to the kingdom that Peter has, that has been part of his ministry of being able to bind and loose and to describe what doctrines are to be believed, that also every Christian does have when they truly unite in prayer in the Mass and truly pray as one church to the Father. And it is with this that we turn and pray. Blessed Lord, in your high priestly prayer you asked so earnestly for the unity of your people. Now touch and teach each one of us as you invite and urge us to this unity which you purchased and have given to us a precious promise about united prayer. When we are one in love and desire our faith as your presence and the Father's answer, we will truly experience everything about heaven on earth. Father, we pray for your people and for every small circle of those who meet together, that they may truly be one. Remove all selfishness and self-interest, all narrowness of heart and estrangement, which hinders that unity. Cast out the spirit of the world and of the flesh, through which your promise loses all of its power. Let the thought of your presence and of your Father's favor draw all of us nearer to each other. Grant especially, blessed Lord, that your church may believe that by the power of united prayer, she can bind and loose in heaven, that Satan can be cast out, that souls can be saved, that mountains can be removed, and that the kingdom can be hastened. And grant, Lord, that in the circle which I personally pray, that prayer of the church may indeed be the power through which your name and the word are glorified forever and ever. Amen. And if we truly experience this true blessedness of united prayer, we too will find blessing and peace in our daily lives.